Job chapter 21, please. Job chapter 21. Job asks a question or is contemplating a thought in Job chapter 21. I'd like us just to read some verses and try to just get what he's talking about when he's, and you might could identify with him. Job 21, verse 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? The wicked, their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring are before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And here's his question. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto God, unto him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we consider this question tonight, I pray that you would help us to understand why we come to you in prayer. Pray that you'd help me as I speak tonight, that I would have your abilities to bring the thoughts together from your word, and that we would be encouraged to get on our knees and to come before you regularly, boldly, and confidently. Now, be with the sailors, the peewees, the nursery, the Spanish translation, our prayer time, but especially this Bible study. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glad you're here tonight. The prosperity of the wicked, it seems like, man, they don't even have to pray and they're doing all right. America is out there doing wrong and they get all done. They say, you know, I don't need God. But why do we pray then? If it seems like the wicked prosper, why should we pray? Well, I'd like to tonight just talk about a lot of good reasons why we as Christians pray. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, please. We're going to look at several verses. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The first reason is it renews our strength in a weary land. Do you ever just get tired? Do you ever, life just goes on and it seems like it's like the ocean. The waves just keep coming up until they beat on the shore of your life and it just keeps coming and you say, no matter what I'm going to do, and then you spend time with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There are a lot of times I know in my life where it just seems like you deal with one thing, you over here, there's two things, you deal with those two things, there's four over here. Then you go back here and this has popped back out. And you say, boy, I'm just so tired. And you go and spend some time talking with God. And the Lord has a way of plugging into your spirit and renewing your heart. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How much shall they be renewed? They'll mount up with wings as eagles. Boy, I love to watch the birds. There are places around, especially where the wind is certain ways, like the ground is scooped like this, and you've got like a wind tunnel. You ever see the birds playing in that? Just swooping up and watching. I was out walking a couple days ago at the place I like to walk, and there must have been a path like that, and these big white crane-type sand cranes were just going up in the air, and you'd see them. They look like jets out of Intercontinental Airport just coming in, and they turn to that wind, and when they turn their head in that wind, whoosh, they just lift right up. And they go way up there. Then you'd see them glide all over the lakes and come back, and they'd sit down. Then you'd watch them walk around a little bit, then they'd go up, and they get lifted up again. Isn't God good? Prayer has a way of renewing our strength just like that. You go to him and you just feel like, I don't know if I can go on, or I can handle the battle, or you know, my marriage, my work, my parents, my school, my health. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run, keep in the battle, keep going, and not be weary. You know, spending time with God renews your strength. It's like getting your battery renewed, plugging it in, getting it all charged up. And instead of you go to get started, you go, you've been time with the Lord, whoom, and you're ready to go. Spend time with God. He just has a way of renewing you inside like nothing else can be done. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. We have another reason. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and ye shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things? Give good things to them that ask him. Well, our needs are supplied through supplication. God takes care of his own when they ask. How many sermons? I'm not going to go down this road deeply. We don't get answers to prayer because we don't pray the prayer. You have not because you ask not. Learn when you have needs to go to God first. I'm guilty of this. I've been saved 50 years plus. And how many times I struggle and twist and grab a hold of trying to take care of my needs, and then it just occurs to me, when I get out of strength, I should have started with God to begin with. Do you keep rediscovering that truth? And you think you know better, and yet we do it. Our needs are supplied through supplication. You take them to God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And yet we just pump into life, and of course the paycheck's coming, the car's going to start, the food's in the but you know, there are a lot of times we just have needs. And our God supplies. In this idea of asking continually. God just wants us to come to him day by day. And you can go back to the idea of the daily manna that was supplied. How long did the manna last if it was stored up? One day. And after that it rotted. God wants us to be continually dependent on his supply. And that's a part of learning to walk by faith and trusting in our God. Just to be supplied. It draws us to the Lord of our cupboard, that he's going to supply our needs. And there's nothing that we can do to supply it. God does it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. Look at verse 7. 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above degree for this thorn in the flesh, for this thing that God brought into my life, for this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And God, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather suffer glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, it's then that I am strong. We find here a third reason. Our God not only supplies things, he supplies grace. And you know, grace is something, we talk about something that you can't put your fingers on, you can't quantify it in a jar. It's something that's intangible. But learning to walk in the grace of God, in his strength and his alone. And prayer teaches us that. It teaches us to walk in the supply of God's grace, to handle situations, to go through life. And Paul said, I had abundance of revelations, and I had all these things, and I'm a leader, and I'm an evangelist, and I'm starting churches, and God's done all these things. And lest I should get filled with me, lest I should be exalted above measure, God brought this thorn in my flesh to teach me to go back to that dependent grace. And that is a hard place to sometimes drag ourselves. Recently, I was going through something, and I was talking to a friend long distance. They said, how are you doing, Pastor Betts? I said, I'm just sort of going through such and such. And we got in the conversation. He said, could I pray for you, Pastor? I said, good. I'm glad to have somebody pray with me for a change, you know. And they started to pray. Can I tell you what? Their prayer was filled with the grace of God. And it lifted me up. God, help Pastor Butts. Help him to depend on you. Help him to see that you're trying to enter into his life through these circumstances in his life. And help him to be a dependent Christian instead of an independent Christian. We learn the grace of God. Prayer does that. That I learn that grace comes from him. And that grace is always sufficient. That's another message again. God's grace is always enough. And it's always on time. And we learn to depend on God to get through things. Paul was pretty filled with himself. And he said, God sent a thorn, could we say, to pop his balloon? To get some of the pride out? To get him back where he would turn to grace. And prayer teaches us to do it. To draw upon grace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. That's probably one of the most worn out passages in my Bible is Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep. I love this last section. Shall keep your hearts and your what? Minds. God, through prayer, keeps our hearts and he keeps our mind. Let me talk about the difference in my thoughts on hearts and mind. You can draw it how you want. But my mind is like the logical part of me. And when I just can't figure out how to do it, God helps me to not go crazy. And my heart is that part that's that hopefulness. And when hope is gone and when you can't see how to do it anymore, prayer, it says, keeps your heart and minds from going just out of order crazy. And the idea of keeping there is God throws a troops, a ring of soldiers around my heart and mind, and God protects my heart and mind from the attacks of Satan. Does Satan ever whisper to you when you're going through hard times? Does he ever try to make you downhearted, not believing in God? And prayer teaches me to remind myself that not only my grace comes from God, but my refreshed spirit comes from him. And there's something like somebody, you see somebody that's had a good night's rest or taken a good Sunday afternoon nap or you know, they've been on vacation and they come back and say, how are you doing? They say, I'm refreshed and ready to go. Prayer refreshes our spirit and our mind. When we've spent time with God and we're ready for battle again and we're ready to go and live. I don't know how the world handles life without that. What an encouragement. Well, I guess they go to the psychologist and pay $125 an hour. They run and read all kinds of books and go to all kinds of seminars when they could just go to the Lord of eternity and have their hearts refreshed and encouraged. Listen, the church in America today needs to learn to pray, and we need to return to what we're doing tonight in a few moments. Get on our knees with God and leave it there and ask Him, because, man, the things that are happening in America, it blows our heart and our mind. It says, I don't know what hope there is, but with God, there's always hope. There's always encouragement. Turn to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We're going to stop with that's all I want on that verse. When I step up to the altar of prayer, God steps closer to me. That's how I read the verse. I draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to me. As I've got a little older, I don't quite hear as well when there's a crowd. Some of you getting in that category at all, so I have to just sort of focus. And this last year when I was the principal for the school, a lot of times after the early prayer meeting time, before the teacher started the day, we'd have do a little business and, you know, take care of stuff. And then a teacher would have a question or two, and they'd say, Pastor Butts, but by then the door is open, the kids are talking, and I'd say to the student, the teacher, let's just step over here in my office, and I lean my ear over to listen to them. They would come to me, their problem. I'd say, now come, and we would get so I could hear. And I wanted to hear exactly what their problem was so I could try to solve it. Or tell them they're wrong. I don't know what it was. You know, but I wanted to draw nigh as a point. When you, so I want to try to give that image to you, you step up to God and you draw nigh to you, and God says, come over here. I want to hear. And if God hears, He already tells us, you have the petitions of your heart. So let's make that fifth point I'm trying to make here. When I pray, my fellowship with God is closer. You're whispering in His ear. Who was one of the neatest disciples that really got close to the ear of Jesus? John. What's the little statement that's made about John that's different than all the other disciples? He is the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast. Could you imagine just being right there close to the Lord? Being that intimate with the Lord? You can be. It's called prayer and fellowship and spending time with the Lord. When Jesus got tired, what did He do? He would go right up into the mountain, and He didn't sleep. He'd spend the time with His Heavenly Father, and that refreshed Him. Now, I'm not telling you stay up for the next four nights in a row, and you're going to be all full of energy because you spent time with God. That's not what I'm talking about. That refreshingness, when Jesus had been healing and doing all these different things, and He'd go away from the crowd, and He'd draw nigh to His own Heavenly Father, there was something about that that was invigorating. That's prayer. We need to learn that there's a lot of value in prayer. It's not just coming with a list. God, help the missionaries. Be with the pastor. Be with my child that's not behaving. Be with this and that. Spending time with God refreshes my own life and my soul. Gives me grace. Supplies my needs. All the things that we're talking about tonight. Number six. When we pray, we get relief from heavy burdens. You say, Pastor, I don't feel like sometimes that I'm worthy to come to God with my burdens. Can I tell you of a person that felt that way and prayed and got his burden lifted anyhow? His name was Samson. Samson sort of messed up his life. Eyeballs were poked out. He's chained like an animal, and he's standing there before the theater, and he says, God, would you help me? For I have been made a mockery of all these Philistines. And he girded himself and he put one hand, you know the story, one hand on the other post. And in his death, he brought more people into eternity than he did his whole lifetime. There was a man that his burden was relieved by talking to the Lord. And the devil will try to say, you don't have any right to do that. And yet the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. Let me give you a seventh reason tonight. It provides direction when you're directionless. Another way of saying it. I don't know what to do or where to go. James chapter 1, what's it say? If you need wisdom, ask of God. I spend a lot of my time in life going down paths I've never been before. Is that you? One of the first things was called marriage. I've never been married. Then we had children. I've never been a dad. I never provided the rent. I never took care of the bills. Then I was a pastor, started a church. Don't know how to do any of these things. Do you have similar stories in your life? God gives direction to the directionless. He shows you where the potholes are on the road. He gives you the word of God as a lamp unto your feet, but he tells us to pray and he'll show us the way. Number 8, prayer invites God into my life and into everything that I do so that I know he's always present. God, I need your help tomorrow. I've got a big presentation. And as I then step up to give the big presentation, who do I know is with me? God. God, I got a big test. I need your help. Now, when I'm taking the test, I know God's with me. Number 9, God gives us a confidence that's unexplainable. God gives us a confidence because we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? I was reading in Matthew chapter 10 this afternoon, and it was talking about a lot of different things of prayer. But one of the things is said, when you come into times that you've taken a stand for Jesus and they now are going to put you on trial, take no thought what you'll answer, for God will fill your mouth at the right time. God in prayer will give you the confidence that you need. And a lot of times we self-doubt ourselves. But we never have to doubt God. God is a God that wants to produce a confidence, not cockiness, not pride, but my God is able to deliver me. Number 10, God will protect us from discouragement. A lot of Christians live in the pit of despair. Pilgrim's Progress. Very, very apropos. We go down into that pit. We feel sorry for ourselves. We take it to God, and God delivers us from that pit of discouragement. And boy, discouragement, it can come so quickly in your life. One phone call, one decision, one bad thing, one accident, one, I don't care what it is. God wants to be there with us. I was doing some research, and there's a man that's quite well known in preaching on prayer in his life, was E.M. Bounds. If you want to really develop your prayer life, just look up online and just read some of E.M. Bounds. He's a good man in the area, a lot of areas, holiness, but especially of prayer. He said 4 things about prayer. He said, 4 things you need to always remember about your prayers. Always true. Number 1, God hears. Number 2, God heeds. Number 3, God answers. Number 4, God delivers. I thought that was good. When we go to prayer in a few moments or all the times of our life, God will hear us. Heed is different than hear. Heed means God hears and it registers on his mind and heart. You're on God's radar. And then God answers. God doesn't say, oh, that's cool, okay, and ignores me. God answers. And then God enters by deliverance. God enters into my need. He delivers. That is a beautiful, simple outline of prayer. He also gave another, I was leafing through one of his messages. He gave 7 or 8 things that prayer does. They're similar to what I read, but can I just read you what Ian Bounds said? Prayer gives you peace of mind. It gives you physical, emotional, and spiritual relief. Prayer gives you forgiveness when you don't even think you deserve to be forgiven. Prayer gives you guidance and wisdom. And he listed out a lot of different people. Abraham's servant looking for a wife for Isaac, how he led him. Daniel, who could interpret a dream that the king wouldn't even tell you what the dream was? Solomon, when he prayed, God said, what an amazing prayer, and he gave him wisdom beyond any man that's ever been recorded. All prayer. Ian Bounds said, prayer strengthens your faith and trust link to God. It's just sort of like, you ever had a phone signal that was a little weak? In our house, there's one little place. It's right close to where my wife sits in her chair. And when certain atmosphere things, people say, what? What? I said, dear, just get up out of the chair and walk over here. People can hear you. Walk over there. But you know, that's really about what prayer does. We get a little distant from God, and prayer just sort of brings the bars up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen? Trust and faith in God. It just gets me back linked. I'm walking by faith again. I'm trusting him. I spent time with him, and I've talked afresh with him. Prayer gives us access to the abundant storehouses of God's riches. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I read an interesting quote that said this. It said, a miracle is not whether it's a hard thing or not. Like, oh, that was a big miracle. What makes a miracle is that nobody could have done it. It was impossible. And that's why I chose the song tonight. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no one else can do. It strengthens our link to God. And last of all, Ian Bounds talked about prayer brings blessings beyond your imagination. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee with great and mighty things that you don't even know. It brings blessings into your life that are inconceivable. Let's allow God to be in our life through prayer. We started out with Job's question. It seems like people are doing right without talking to God. Why should we pray then? Well, I think tonight we saw a lot of reasons. It links us to God in faith and trust and delivers and protects and guides. And I mean, we're just scratching the surface tonight. Would you agree? And as I worked on this message this week, do you know what I found? Just working on this message refreshed me. I needed it. Just preparing it. Now if we just do it, we can take our weights and our heaviness and our tiredness and go to God and be refreshed and be confident. Walking in trusting faith to do the unbelievable impossible. May God help us. Let's bow our heads, please.